Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. We begin today's Shiur 5 lines from the top of Kuf Chof Zayin. We would like to point out that we are continuing with topics that we discussed at the end of our previous shiur. With that in mind, we have a source, Ein Maschilin Be'otzar Tchila. One is not to draw initially on Shabbos from a storehouse. Avol Oise Bo'ishvil Kedei Shikones V'yetzei. But one can make a path in order to enter and exit. This source seems to be inherently problematic or even contradictory. You say, it says, Oise Bo'ishvil, that you can make a path to go into the storehouse, and ostensibly it means that you make a path in order to go in and take stuff out of the storehouse on Shabbos. But the whole Amris, but did you not say, Ein Maschilin, that you don't start drawing for the first time from a storehouse if it happens to be a Shabbos? So the Gemara answers, Hochi Ka'omar. Thusly, you should understand the source. True, like we said before, a storehouse, if it has not been drawn from before Shabbos, you don't start drawing from it on Shabbos. That is a problem. The storehouse represents a problem of muktzah, something that you set aside for some future use, namely not for immediate use on Shabbos. That having been said, if, let us say, you need to cut through the storehouse and there are boxes in the way, so the source is telling you, Oise Boishvil Baraglov Bechnisoso Uvitsioso. As you are walking through the storehouse, you can push aside the boxes, the items stored there with your feet. As you are walking, Bechnisoso upon your entrance and Vitsioso upon your exit. Rashi points out that this type of movement is not categorized as tiltal being the iser of moving that which is muktzah. That comes into play when you move something in the normal way, where you pick something up with your hands and put it down in some other location. But pushing something with your feet as you are walking along does not constitute a violation of that rabbinic prohibition of tiltal. Tonu Rabbona. Tavua tzvura. Tavua are grains that are piled up. It's clear that this is an otsar. Piled grains show us that you have set it aside for storage purposes, for storing it for future use. Bisman shehislo meir of Shabbos, if you started to draw from this pile of grain from Friday, mutar lehistapek mimeno b'Shabbos, you can draw from it. Lehistapek is to use it, to draw from it, to feed your animal on Shabbos. V'imlav, if you didn't start using it, drawing from it on Friday, osur lehistapek mimeno b'Shabbos, divrei Rabbi Shimon, then you cannot draw from it on Shabbos. That would be tantamount to starting it. And we saw before, ein maschilin b'oitzer tchila on Shabbos. So this is presented as Rabbi Shimon's opinion, and Rav Acha matir. Rav Acha says you can draw from the storehouse. The Gemara asks, Klapei Laya, literally means, where are you going? Or another take on that is, things would appear to be just the opposite. In other words, Rabbi Shimon is the famous Shita. He is known to not hold from Muktzah, and yet Rabbi Shimon here is presented as being the authority that says there is a muktzah restriction here, insofar as his saying it's also to draw, it's prohibited to draw from the store from the storage, the grain storage. So the Gemara says, you know, you're right. Elo emo divrei Rabbi Acha. Rather, it should say in the source that Rav Acha is the one who says osur listapik meno b'Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon matir, and Rabbi Shimon is the one that allows because he doesn't hold from the muktzah restriction. Tana kamo shiur tvua tzvura. When you speak about tvua tzvura, piled up grains constituting a storage of grain, how much is that? Answer, lesech. Lesech is a measure, and Rashi points out it's a half a kor, or 15 se'ah. Less than that would not be considered an otsar, but rather it's an accumulation of grain for immediate use. Bomine Rav Rechumi Bar Zecharia Me Abaye. Shiur Tvua Tzvura Bekama. So we just touched on this topic in the Tanaic source, but nevertheless, Rav Nechumi asks, what is the amount that constitutes a Shiur Tvua Tzvura? Omar Le Hare Omru. They have already said Shiur Tvua Tzvura Lesech, as we saw in the source. You notice we have diamonds, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, She'elos Soviv Mispar Hakupos Shemuter Lefanos. We'll have a couple of questions. One is here, and you can see further down the narrow lines another question regarding the number of boxes that one is allowed to move. We saw in the Mishnah a reference to the movement of four or five boxes. So we want to look into this number presentation a little further. We also will touch on the nosei, the topic that follows, limute behiluch, limute bemasui, eze odif. On Shabbos, in general, we strive to be at a state of non-activity, of rest, a time to ponder the Kodesh Baruch Hu's creation of the world and the study of Torah, more spiritual related activity. So we like to reduce the amount of exertion that one exerts himself on Shabbos. So in the following analysis, we're going to look into the issue of what is better to do if you have a chance to reduce the amount you walk or the amount that you carry. Let us see the Gemara. Ibayelo, hani arba v'chomesh kupos deka omar. The statement of the Mishnah, four or five boxes. And there are two sides of the question, and hence we've noted them with an aleph, and then two lines later you see a squiggle underlined, O Dilma, and then Beis. The O Dilma squiggle underlined as it is one of our transition expressions, and we squiggle underline transition expressions as we see them in the Gemara. So the question is, Ba'arba v'chomesh kupos in tfei lo, do we say that you are entitled to move four or five boxes? That's it, that number, yes, but more, no. Because we don't want you to experience additional walking. Almo limute v'hilucha odif. So that we're saying, we let you move things in four or five boxes, but not in many boxes, small boxes. Let's say 10 small boxes that would hold the same amount that five large boxes hold. So we wouldn't allow that. And that would show that we're trying to reduce the amount of walking. Oy Dilma, limute masui odif. Or do we say that we want you to minimize the amount that you carry, and even though that might result in much more walking? Let us take a look at the Rashi. Bedalet vehe kupos in tfeilo, bekupos atzmon hu yifaneh. He removes whatever he has to remove from the area that he wants to make space. As the Mishnah indicated, he removes things in boxes. V'imaleim, and he fills them up, im yirtzeh. O sak b'ksefo, shiur kupa, or a sack that he slings around his shoulder with the amount that would ordinarily fit into a kupa box, the pam achas, in one shot, Avol tfei lahalech yoser mehei pomim, but to walk more than five times back and forth, kagon lefanus bekelim ketanim viyarba behiluchlo. That we would not allow to move the same quantity but in smaller vessels, which would result in more walking back and forth. Or, as we saw, maybe we would allow the amount that would ordinarily be contained in five standard size boxes, and you can move them in smaller vessels, thereby reducing the amount that you would carry each time, but increasing the total amount of walking. So the question has been raised. We now proceed to the answer. You'll notice we have a long answer marking. It takes a couple lines to present the Gemara's response. The double underline that you see is explained on the side under our Mivneh heading. The Toni Chado and Idoch are featured. These are two Mekoros, Shehuva'u La'or Noseanal, two sources that are brought in light of this question. So the Gemara responds, Toshma. The Toni Chado, one source says, Mefanin afilu arba v'chemesh kupos shel kade shemen v'shel kade yayin. That source says you can move even four or five boxes of oil or wine jugs. V'tanyo idoch be'eser u'b'chemesh esrei. And another source says 10 or 15. My lav beha kamifli. Does this not suggest that, in fact, these two sources represent the two sides of the question, and they, in fact, argue? The mor sovar, the source that says four or five, says miuti behiluch adif, reduction of amount of walking is preferable, so that you are not entitled to more to move to walk back and forth more than five times. Umor somar miute masui odif. The source that spoke about 10 or 15 is actually telling you to, if you can move less amount each time, even though it will result in more walking, that is the better option. The Gemara says, loy, that is not the point of the two sources. In other words, the two sources are not coming to argue. De kule alma miute behilucha odif. Everyone agrees that we want you to walk as little as possible. In other words, when we say five times, it means don't walk back and forth in trying to clear out an area more than five times. Mi savris be'eser u'b'chamesh esrei akupos koi. Who says that when the source spoke about 10 and 15, it's a reference to boxes? Rather, akadin koi. The kupa holds jugs, and the numbers were referring to jugs, the jugs in the boxes. There are large jugs, and there are small jugs. Velo kasha, ha dimishtakli chad b'kupa, the source that spoke about four or five boxes. Those are boxes that contain large jugs, so that in each box there is one large jug. The ha demishtikli trey. The source that spoke about 10, it's a reference to smaller size jugs that fit into each box, where there are two jugs in each box. But still, the five boxes will contain a total of 10 jugs, so you're walking back and forth the same five times. The ha, the source that made reference to 15, is the mishtakli tlosa tlosa, that in each box there are three jugs. Ubedikuri de harpanya, the jugs referred to are like the harpanya type jugs. We take a look at the Rashi that explains this piece of Gemara. The source that spoke about four or five times is not dealing with the number of jugs. I read bekadin dolim. That is talking about boxes that hold large jugs. So there's, in effect, only one jug in the box. V'hach t'tana b'asora b'tesvav, the source that speaks about 10 and 15, ayri b'kadim b'inonim b'kadim k'tanim. Those are talking about jugs that fit into the boxes, and the jugs are medium size and small ones. Esther, kiddushtakli, tray, 10, total of 10 jugs when you're taking two per box, and tesvav, 15, kiddushtakli, tlosa, bekupa diktanim. These different jugs, the Gemara points out, are characteristic of the jugs of Harpanya. The Gemara continues, Ibaya Laho, Hani Arba V'Chomesh Dekomar. This question again, we should just point out the last a couple of lines with the Aleph Odilma Bay's structure. In this case, the question itself will have an additional layer of inquiry with a Ve'im Timtza Lomar structure, as we will see shortly. When we finish the question, we will then encounter a rather long answer. So the question is, Hani Arba V'Chomesh D'Komar, the 4, 5 that we have seen, and we should actually, before going on in the Gemara, just look to the side of the Gemara under our Nosei, the topic heading, She'ela, number 1, Hani Dalet V'Hei Kupos, Afilu Im Yeshlo Harbe Orchim, when we speak about clearing out 4 or 5 boxes, is that so, even if he has a lot of guests? Im Timtzalomar Lefi Ho'orchim, if you say that the number will change according to the number of guests, Odom Echot Bilvad Mifana HaKol, do we say that only one person is to be charged with moving out everything? Oy Kol Echot Mifana Liatzmo, or each person removes a box for himself, to make space for himself. So now the Gemara. Ibayalo, Hani Arba V'Chomesh D'Komar. The 4 or 5 that we saw, that you're allowed to remove to make space, Afagav V'Islei Orchin Tuva, is that so even if someone has a lot of guests? Oy Dilmo Hakol Lefi Ho'orchin. Or do we say that it all depends, it's a fluctuating amount depending on the number of guests? So that if you have one guest, you're allowed to move 4 or 5. If you have more guests, move more. The Imtim Tzolomar Kol Lefi Ho'orchin, if you say that it all depends on the number of guests, Chad Gavra Mefani Lekulhu, do we say that only one person is to be charged with moving them out? O Dilma Gavra V'Gavra Mefani Lenafshe, or do we say that each person clears out for himself? Toshma Di Omar Rabo Omar Rebichia. The triangles that appear here are explained on the side. Maisim, these are stories, Shehuvo Kedei Lifshot Sheva Hanal, that are brought to resolve the question we just asked. So you have this incident with Rabbo quoting Rav Yechiyah, Pamach Hasholach Rebbe Lamokam Echad. On one occasion, Rebbe went to a place, V'ra Mokam Dochuk L'Tamidim, and saw that there was little room for the students. V'yotza L'Sodeh U'motza Sodeh Mele'a Oimrim. He went into the field and saw that the field was full of sheaves of grain. V'imer Rebbe Kol Hasodeh Kula. And Rebbe removed all of the sheaves. Rashi points out that we're talking about an area that's a carmelis, and the movement was in paces or movements of less than 4 amos. Well, we see that he cleared out the whole field. So you can see that it depends. The amount you're allowed to move depends on the number of people, that it's an expanding number if necessary. Rav Yosef on Rav Hoshaya, Pamach has holach Rebbe Chiyah lemokom echad. Once Rebbe Chiyah went to a place, v'ro mokom dochuk l'tamidim, and saw little room was available for the students. V'yotz l'sodem, what's l'sodem le'o imrim? V'imer Rebbe Chiyah kol hasode kulover. The same type of story. Shema mino. We conclude from here hakol lefi ha'orchim, that everything is according to the number of guests. So that the more guests you have, the more you are allowed to clear out. Vadayin tiboy aloch. But still, the second question remains. From our long question, there were two questions that were asked there. And the question is, Ha gavra mafani le lukula oidomo kol gavra v'gavra mafani le nafshei? Do we say that one person is charged with moving everything out, or each person moves out what is necessary for himself? Toshma, so we can answer this from the responses we saw before. It said above, V'imer Rebbe, and it seems that he did. One person moves everything. The Gemara says back to this answer and says, "Ulatameich Rebbe b'denaf she'imer." If you're quoting the Imer Rebbe, Rebbe was the Nossi, he was the head of the Jewish people. Do you think that he himself schlepped boxes back and forth? Ella, or in this case, you think that Rebbe moved the grains by himself? Ella tziva the Imer. He issued instructions to clear out the grains. And we can say that, in fact, each person moves for himself. Mipnei ho'orchin. We mentioned that the moving out of boxes is done for making room for guests. As we continue in the Gemara, we will notice a new marking. We see a house form, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we've indicated the house are Meimros B'Shevach Achnosas Orchim. Comments made by the Gemara in praise of one who is involved with welcoming guests. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, G'dolo Achnosas Orchim Kashkomas Beis HaMedrash. Great is the mitzvah of welcoming guests as rising to the base medrash for the study of Torah. Dikotoni, it said in our Mishnah, Mipnei ha'orchin u'mipnei bitol beis ha'medrash. It says that the Mishnah equates them, that the movement of, or the clearing out of an area is allowed on Shabbos for guests and to prevent bitol beis ha'medrash, so that there shouldn't be a halt in Torah study, so as to allow to make room for Torah study. So the equation between the two shows Rabbi Yochanan this point. A second approach to this, Rabbi Dimi Nardo Amar Yoiser Mashkomas Beis HaMedrash, that the welcoming of guests is even greater than the rising to the Torah study center. Tikotoni, it mentions Mipnei Orchim. First it mentions making room for the guests, Vahodar, and then in a second position it says Mipnei Bitul Beis HaMedrash, indicating primacy for the welcoming of guests. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, G'doylo hachnosos orchim mehakbolas pnei shchina. Greater is welcoming or hosting guests than greeting the divine presence. Dichtiv, the posuk in the context of Avram Avinu, where he had been visited by the divine presence after his bris milah, upon noticing guests, Avram Avinu said, and here we have a posuk, Va Yomar, and he said, Hashem, im no motzosi chen beinecho, al no tavor v'chulei. What Avram was saying according to this approach is he was speaking to the divine presence and says, wait for me here, I want to go and greet my guests. So we see that he put aside his contact with the Shekhinah in the divine presence in favor of greeting his guests. Amar Belozer, Bo Re Shelo Kamidas Hakadosh Baruch Hu Midas Boser Fadam. Come and notice that the attributes of the Almighty are not like the attributes of mortal man. Midas Boser Fadam, in the context of men, Ein Koton Yocholomar LeGodol, the lesser individual cannot say to the greater individual, Hamtein Atche Ovo Etzlecha, wait for me until I come back. In other words, a lesser individual has to give his undivided attention to the greater person. The Ilu Ba'Kodesh Baruch Hu Ksiv, and yet when it comes to the Almighty, who is the ultimate in greatness, we see mortal man, Bayomar, Hashem, Ino Matzasi V'chulei, that which we just saw a moment before with regard to Avram Avinu, telling the Almighty, as his name indicates, the ultimate in greatness, is he is being told to wait by mere man. Omar Rav Yehuda Bar Shilom Rav Asi Omar Rav Yochanan Shisha Dvorim Adam Oichel Perusim B'Olam Hazeh Vakeren Kayem Eslo L'Olam Haba. There are six things that a person will derive benefit from in this world, and the mainstay of the benefit, the primary benefit, is in the world to come. The Eluhain, and the following are the six things that are included in Rav Yochanan's statement. 1. Hachnosas Orchim, hosting of guests. 2. Ubikur Cholim, the visiting of the ill. The Iyun Tfila, one's concentration in davening. 4. Vashkomas Beis HaMedrash, rising early to learn Torah. 5. A Megadol Bonav L'Talmud Torah, one who raises his children in the study of Torah. And 6. Vadon Es Chaveru L'Kavzchus, one who judges people favorably. In other words, when one has when there is an element of doubt regarding someone's behavior, you choose to judge him favorably. Any, well, is this so? Do we not have a Tanaic source, a Mishnah in Maseches Peah, that says, "Elu dvarim shalom oisa oisam va'oichel perasim lamazev akeren kemes lo li'olam haba ve'elohein." And here we have a Tanaic source where you have these two characteristics. You have the residual benefit in Olam Hazeh, in this world, and the primary benefit in the next world. And what are they? Well, we'll see. There are only four items. Kibud Avim, the respect one accords to his mother and father. Gemilus Chasodim, doing acts of loving kindness. Number 3, Vavoz Shalom Bein Olam Chavero, creating peace and equanimity between fellow men. And number 4, V'Talmud Torah K'neged Kulam, and the most prominent of these is the study of Torah, that is the equivalent of all of them. Well, we see 4, not like Rabbi Yochanan said 6. Hani in midi achrina lo, these yes and not other things. And that is our question on Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara answers, we're at the top of Omid Beis, or continues with the answer. Hani, Nami, the items mentioned in Rabbi Yochanan's list, the Hani, Shaychi, are included in the four that are mentioned in the Mishnah. And Rashi goes through the breakdown, how you will find that the 6 points of Rabbi Yochanan are alluded to by the 4 points mentioned in the Mishnah. So there is no controversy. For the details, we can together look at the Rashi at the top, Hochi Gasinun Hani Nami Bahani Shaychi, and the numbers that we have here, we noted on the side where the star appears, these numbers correspond to Rabbi Yochanan's list. So Hachnosas Orchem Ubikur Cholem, Hainu Gemilas Chasodim. These welcoming of guests and the visiting of the sick are included in what the Mishnah made reference to, acts of loving kindness. The Iyun Tfila, Hainu Bechlal Gemilas Chasodim. The idea of concentration in davening also falls under the general category of Gemilas Chasodim. Dichtiv Gomel Nafsho Ish Chesed. From that pasuk, we learn that Iyun Tfila is included in Gemilas Chasodim. The note on the side points out that the word Nefesh or Nafsho is a reference to Tfila. Number 4 and 5, Hashkomas Beis HaMedrash, the Gidol Bonim L'Talmud Torah, Hainu Talmud Torah. This is under the heading of the Mishnah's Talmud Torah. And number 6, Don Es Chaveru L'Kaf Schus, Bichlal Havua Shalom. The ability to judge fellow man favorably comes under the Mishnah's reference to creating peace amongst men. The Mitosh Machir L'Schus, V'yomar, all kinds of expressions of giving the other the benefit of the doubt. Yesh shalom b'neim, one who practices that creates peace between himself and others. Rabbi Yochanan lefarish loch osa. Rabbi Yochanan's point purpose here was to explain the bechlal shloish demasnisin isnu lahanoch sheish, that within 3 of the points mentioned by the Mishnah, you can find 6 practices. The Ika, Nami, the Kibbut Av, the Aim, And there is also Kibud Av V'Eim. Rabbi Yochanan lo poligole. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't disagree that Kibud Av V'Eim also is Ochel Perosem B'Olam Hazeh V'Akeren Kayamas L'Olam Haba. All Rabbi Yochanan was saying is that that in the three of the points mentioned in the Mishnah, you will find six behaviors, six practices that I enumerated. We continue in the Gemara with a topic that we just made reference to, and on the side we see the Noseh Hadon Es Chaveru Lekav Schus. The topic is involves judging someone favorably. Give him the benefit of the doubt. Under the Mivneh heading, a bow tie is featured, and they represent Shalosh Maisim Bidon Lekav Schus. There are three stories that the Gemara will feature as you go down the Omid. Involving this idea of giving people the benefit of the doubt. The triangles that appear in the course of the Gemara are halimut zchus. These are the expressions of benefit that we give. And we'll see that will become very self-evident as we go along. The Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. Hadon chaveru lekaf schus, donen oso leschus. One who practices giving his friend the benefit of doubt, from heaven then, the person will be judged giving him the benefit of the doubt. What we call measure for measure. The way you behave to fellow man is the way heaven will treat you. Umaise b'olam echad shior megolu ha'elyon. An incident involved a person that descended from the upper Galilee area of Israel, v'nizkar tzu balabayas echod v'dorom sholosh shanim, and he was hired to work by a person 3 years in the south. Erev Yom Kippurim Omar lo, it was an Erev Yom Kippur of the third year, and he said, Tein li schorei ve'elech vozen es ishti ubonai, give me my wages so that I can go and support my wife and children. Omar lo, ein li mo. So the balabayas, one who hired the worker, said, I don't have money. So the worker said, Omar lo, tein li peros. So then, give me fruits. Give me money equivalent. Omar lo, ein li, I don't have. Tein li karka, well, then give me a piece of land. Ein li, I don't have. Tein li behema, then give me an animal. Tainly, I don't have. Tainly, koramuksosas, give me pillows and mattresses. Again, a money equivalent. Ainly, so the homeowner says, I don't have. Well, we have this worker that worked for 3 years, and he's got no compensation coming in his direction. Hivshil Kalev Lachorov, he slung his vessels over his back. In other words, whatever he carried with him, he slung over his back, v'holach lebeso b'pachi nefesh, and he went home quite saddened. La'achar horegel, after the holiday, nota balabayas choro biyodo, v'mo masui sholish chamorim, the balabayas, the fellow who hired the worker, took with him three donkeys worth. The balabayas took with him the money owed to the worker, plus three donkey loads, echot shel maichel, echot shel mishta, echot shel minei megodim. One donkey holding, carrying food, the other drink, and the other delicacies. V'holach lo lebeso. And this balabayas went to the house of the worker. Achas she'ochlu v'shosu nosu lo nosan lo schoro. After they ate and drank, so the balabayas gave him his wages. Omar lo, he asks, the balabayas asks the worker, v'shol she omarto li, tein li schori, v'omarti ein li mos. When you asked me for your wages, and I said to you, I don't have any cash. B'amai chashadetani, what did you suspect me of? Omarti, so the worker answers, and notice the triangles, these are all the benefit of the doubt that he gives. Shema prakmati bezol nizdam loloch v'lokachta bahen. It could be that the cash that I requested you needed immediately because you had an opportunity to buy goods. Prakmatia is a term referring to goods at a really cheap rate, and you needed the cash, the ready cash, so that instead of paying me, you bought the goods at a cheap rate, which you would then profit with later. Question: Ubishal shamarti li tain li behemo, and when you gave me the option of giving you an animal instead, the amarti, and I said ain li behemo, I don't have. B'mechas shalini, what did you suspect me of? Amarti shema muskeres biad acher, maybe the animals that you actually owned were rented out to others, so you couldn't give me that which was currently rented out to others. Question: B'shal shamarta li tain li karka, the amarti loch ain li karka. B'meh chashadetani, when you asked for a piece of land and I said to you I don't have, what did you suspect me of? Amarti, I figured shema muhkeres biad acherim. Maybe the land is hired out to others, where others work the land and pay the owner a certain amount, as we'll call it, a certain amount of rent in the form of produce, and the people who hired out the land keep the rest. So the land wasn't available to give to me. Question: Ubishal shamarti loch ein li peros, when I said I don't have fruits, b'mei chashadetani, amarti, he answered, shema einon mu'usoros, maybe the fruits weren't tithed, so I couldn't use them for payment. Something that hasn't been tithed, you can't use to pay others. Ubishal shamarti loch ein li kor muksosos, and when I told you I don't have pillows and mattresses, what did you suspect me of then? Amarti shemo hiftish kol nechosav l'shamayim. Maybe you dedicated your holdings to the base hamikdash, heavenwards. You sanctified them, and as such, once something is sanctified, so it's no longer yours to pay me with. Omarle, the Balabayas answers, ho'avodo kach hoya. In fact, what you just said, giving me the benefit of that, is in fact what really happened. That was the case. And you'll see that we use this double underline in the course of the Gemara to highlight this expression, Avoda Kachoya. On the side of our Gemara, we indicated the double underline, Avoda Kachoya, Ishuram Ledivrehem Shel Melamde Yisrus, where we confirm the words of those that were giving benefit. And so here you have confirmation. Hidarti kol nechosai, I dedicated all of my property to the Beis Hamikdash b'shvil Hurkanus b'ni shelo osak b'torah. I didn't want Hurkanus, my son, who to inherit my possessions, for he is someone that did not pursue Torah study. And a son like that is not deserving of my goods as an inheritance. Ukshabosi etzel chaver b'dorom, hitiru li kol nidorai, and when I came to my colleagues in the south, they absolved me of the vow that prevented him from receiving his goods. V'ato, and you, the worker, kishem shedantani l'schus, that you gave me the benefit of the doubt, Hamokom yodin oschal lesusti, from heaven the Almighty should give you at all times the benefit of the doubt. Tonu Rabbanan, Maisa b'chosid echod, an incident involving a particular pious individual. Rashi points out that in the Shas where you see the expression chosid echod, it's a reference to either Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova or Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. So an incident involving one of these great figures, she poda rivo achas bas Yisrael, he redeemed a young Jewish girl from captivity, ulemalon hishkivo tachas magloisov, and in the hotel, the inn, so he had her sleep at his feet. In other words, it seems from this in the same bed, and she slept in the bed at his feet. L'machar yorad v'toval, the next day, this Chosid Echad, one of the Reb Yehudas, went to the mikveh, Vishana the Talmidov, and he then taught Torah. Now, one should just note parenthetically that a person who experiences, that is, a man who experiences an emission, and so is the case when intimacy takes place. We have learned in the past in Maseches Brachos and elsewhere that there is an immersion in the mikveh known as Tvilas Ezra, which prior to which one is not allowed to study Torah. We are mentioning this parenthetically and not as a point of actual practical halacha, but nevertheless one should be aware of this practice exists on the books. So in this story we find the chassid in the morning going to the mikveh and then teaching Torah, the Omar, and he asks, when I had this young girl sleep at my feet, what did you suspect me of? It's a rather suspicious-looking story. What did you suspect me of? Amarnu, so, and we said, Shemo, and again the triangle indicating the benefit of the doubt. They said, Shemo yesh bonu talmid sheinu bodok l'rebi. You kept her by you because amongst us there was one that you were suspicious of. Literally, one of the students that had not been checked out by the rabbi, and instead of leaving her to sleep out of his sight, so he made sure that she was under his control, and thereby preserving a level of morality. Question: when I went to immerse in the mikveh, what did you suspect me of? Maybe because of all the traveling, the physical strain which results in fatigue, that also could be responsible for a male emission. The keri is the male emission, and as a result of that, you had to immerse yourself before teaching Torah. Omar lohem, and he said, the chosid said, ho'avoido kachoya, what you said about me, in fact, was the case. The atem kishem shidantuni tavslus, and you who gave me the benefit of the doubt and didn't suspect me of actual intimacy with the girl, amokom yodin eschem lekavslus, the Almighty should judge you also favorably. Tonu rabbanan pam achas hutzruch dover echod l'talmidei chachomim etzel matrinisa achas, the talmidei chachomim, the Torah's scholars, needed a governmental assistance, and the governmental figure is presented here as a matronisa, a certain, like the word it sounds, a matron woman, a special important woman. She called the Doile Romi Mitzuyin Etzla. All the Roman leaders were common by her, were found by her. So we're dealing with a powerful woman that if one needed governmental assistance, she was the address. Omru, mi yelech. So the question was asked, who shall go to the matra, to the matronisa? Omru lehem, Rabbi Yeshua, ani yelech. Rabbi Yeshua volunteered, I will go. Holach Rabbi Yeshua v'talmidov. Rabbi Yeshua went together with his students, given shegiel lepesach besa, as he approached the door to her house, cholatz tefillah b'richuk arba amos, he removed his tefillin at a distance of 4 amos, v'nichnas v'noal hadelas b'fnem, he went in and then locked the door in their faces. In other words, as he walked in, closed the door, locked the door, and they couldn't enter. Achar shiyosa, when he came out, Yorad v'tava v'shonu l'tamidav, he descended into a mikveh, immersed himself, and then taught Torah, the Omar, and then he asked, b'shal she'cholatzi tefillin b'machashini, when I removed my tefillin. Now, the removal of tefillin, again, we should just mention parenthetically that before one would engage, let us say, in intimacy with his spouse, with one's wife, one would remove his tefillin. So here you have him removing his tefillin before going into the chambers of this matron woman. So what did you suspect me of? Amarnu, we figured Kosovo Rebbe, lo yikonsu divrei kedusha b'mokum tuma. The tefillin, which are holy artifacts, should not enter a place of profanity, where you have this Roman woman. B'shoshana alti b'mechashudim, when I locked the door, what did you suspect me of? Amarnu, we figured shema dvar malchus yesh beino leveino. There is a matter of governmental importance that requires secrecy, and therefore you lock the door to ensure that no one would follow you in to hear the secret matters. Well, when I went to immerse, what did you suspect me of? What did you think that I was immersing for? Omarnu, and again, there is room for suspicion because, as we said before, if one had engaged in intimacy before the study of Torah, one must immerse themselves. So he's asking them, what did you think when I went to immerse myself? Omarnu, we figured Shemu Nitzu Tzinura Bipu'al Begoda of Shel Rabbi. We figure that maybe in conversation with the woman, some saliva spattered on your clothing, and there is a rabbinic rule that the saliva of Gentiles communicates tumah. Omar lohem. So Rabbi Yeshua said to them, "Ho'avoda kachoya." In truth, that is what happened. Va'atem k'shem shatan l'schus amokim din eschem l'schus. It should be the will of heaven, as you judged me favorably, so too the Almighty should judge you favorably. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading. Under our nosei, we have written Birur Prote HaMishnah, an explanation of the details that were in the Mishnah. Lama Kotani, the Heter and Isur Tiltul, Alma Shinireh Poshut. There are numerous examples that were featured in the Mishnah, things that you're allowed to move, things you're not allowed to move, and each one of them seems to be fairly obvious. So what is the Mishnah teaching that I couldn't have known on my own? The Gemara. Mifanin Shruma Tahora V'chulei Pshita. Well, of course you can move pure Truma that hasn't been defiled. The Truma is produce that is tithed and given to Kohanim. So it's something that one eats. What could the possible problem be in moving that? So the Gemara says, Lo, Tzricha, it is necessary to be taught. Demancha, Biyad, Yisrael. We're talking about Truma that's not in the possession of a Kohen, but rather in the possession of a Yisrael. Mal de Tema, one might have thought, Kevon de Lo Chazile, since it's not fit to him, a Yisrael is not allowed to eat Truma. A Zar, meaning a non-Kohen who eats Truma, will be Chayav, if he does so knowingly, Chayav Misa Bidei Shamayim. So one might have thought that since the Truma in the hands of the Yisrael is something not fit for him, and therefore it will be also to move it, Komash Malon, the Mishnah tells us, Kevon de Chazi L'Kohen Shap Yudomi, since it's something that a Kohen could eat, it's okay for a non-Kohen to move it. U demai. The Gemara asks about demai. Well, demai ha lo chazile. Demai is produce bought from an ignoramus, from an amoretz, and he is suspect of not having tithe. Now, food that's not tithe, you can't move. It's mukse. So the Gemara says, kevan di boy mafkele l'nichse ve'ave oni v'chazile. Since in potential or in theory, a person could declare all of his possessions unowned. He can declare them hefker. If a person were to do that he would become impoverished. And the chazile and demai is something that the impoverished are allowed to eat. So hashtonami chazile. Now too, that that one didn't actually declare his property hefker, since the potential exists, the demai is considered fit for him. The snan, the source tells us this. One is allowed to feed the poor with demai, with produce bought from an am haaretz. And the achsanya is a reference to the king's troops. Rashi says, Chel shel melech Yisrael umatilo al b'neiyo lefarnesam. The armies of a Jewish king whose support, the army's support, is placed upon the community to feed them and care for them. So we have said, since the person who has demai could actually be connected or fit to eat the demai if he were to declare his property unowned, so since the potential exists, it's something fit for him. The Omer Rav Huna, Tana, Rav Huna tells us we have a source, Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Machilin Esanim Demai Vezasanim Demai. Beis Shammai negates what we just said. Beis Hillel Omrim Machilin Esanim Demai Vezasanim Demai. Beis Hillel, though, which in general carries more halachic weight, he says that one can feed the aniyim and the achsanya with the demai produce. Umaiser Rishon Shenitlo Trumaso. One is allowed to move boxes of Meiser Rishon produce that has been tithed. A Levi who receives Meiser Rishon is in turn expected to give a tenth of his Meiser Rishon to a Kohen. And the Mishnah is referring to Meiser Rishon whose Truma tithe was removed from it. So the Gemara asks, Pshita. The marking highlights the expression pshita, and with the colored in tip at the top, it indicates pshita that something is mutter. Later, we will see this marking, a diamond with the bottom colored in, and that will represent pshita that it's obvious something is osir. That will appear on the next omid. So our Gemara continues. Once we said that the Levi removed his truma, isn't it obvious that it's allowed to be moved? Lo tzricha shigdimo b'shibolim. We're talking about a case where the Levi came to the field owner and took his meiser tithe when the produce was still in a sheave form. Shibolim are grains that are attached to their stalks. It's before the grains have gone through the threshing and winnowing process. The expectation of tithing is only after it's gone through the winnowing process, in which a pile is formed. Here we're talking about the Levi coming to take his grains early. The Gemara tells us the Levi came early, took the grains when they were still in stalk form. The notla heimenu truma smicer, the lo notla heimenu truma gedola. And the Levi took off 10% and gave that to a kohen. That's the trumas meiser, but the Levi did not remove from it the truma gedola. The truma gedola is a small amount of grain that the field owner is expected to remove from his produce once it has been piled after it's been winnowed and in a pile. So the Levi, taking the grains in their stalk form, removed or tied the Truma Smeiser, but did not take off from it the Truma Gedola. V'chiha di Amar Rabbi Yavoam Reish Lakish, Meiser Rishon Shigdimo Bishibolim, a Levi who takes his Meiser Rishon early, Potter Mitruma Gedola, he is exempt from taking off the Truma Gedola tithe from that which he took, the Truma Gedola that the field owner would have otherwise tithed. Of course, he would have tithed it a little bit later once he formed a pile of threshed grains, or of winnowed grains. So we have a Levi removing or tithing the Trumas Meiser, but not removing from it the relevant percentage of Truma Gedola that is latent in these grains. Shenemar, how do I know that the Levi is to tithe only one of the tithes, the Trumas Meiser tithe? The Pasuk says, V'arei Moisim menu Trumas Hashem Meiser mina Meiser. That's the Pasuk. Meiser mina Meiser Matiloch. I told you, the Levi, to take a tenth of the tenth. The Meiser Rishon tithe itself is a tenth of the field owner's produce. And the Levi takes off a tenth of his tenth and gives it to a Kohen. So we see the Torah's expectation from the Levi is to remove only Trumas Meiser, and not the Truma Gedola, v'lo Truma Gedola u Trumas Meiser min HaMeiser. The Levi is not expected to see to it that the Truma Gedola tithe is also removed from that which he, the Levi, receives. Amale Rav Papa Labaye, I Hachi, if this is the way we darshan the Pasuk, that Levi is not expected to take off Truma Gedola, Afilu Hikdimo Bekri Nami Liftar, then even if the Levi happened to come before the Kohen arrived at the field and took his Meiser Rishon, are you going to say that even under those circumstances the Levi will be exempt from taking off the proportional amount of Truma Gedola? Amale Abaye responds and says, Olecho Makro, regarding this suggestion that which you said, the Pasuk says, Mikol Matnoseichem Torimu. From this Pasuk, we learn from that whatever a Levi receives, he must take off the Truma, what's called the Truma Gedola. The Gemara asks, Umay Royce, what is it that you see that in the case that the Levi takes the produce when it's still in stalk form, so he's exempt from the Truma Gedola tithe, and yet when he takes the Meiser Rishon, when the grains have been piled into a kri before the Kohen came to receive his Truma Gedola, there we say that the Levi has to take off a proportional amount of Truma Gedola. Why is this distinction? Answer, hi idgan, v'hai lo idgan. The word idgan is a verb that has as its root the word dogon. The Pasuk, when describing the need to tithe Truma, it says, reishis digoncha, that only when something is classified as dogon, and dogon is a reference to grains when they are piled up, as opposed to grains that still are attached to their sheaves or to their stalks. So the Pasuk that makes a reference to the need, we're just repeating the point we just made, that the Pasuk that makes reference to the need to take Truma Gedola, that kicks in only when the grains have reached the Dogon stage, which is, as we said, when the stalks have been removed from the grains. But in the case that the Levi comes to take his Meiser Rishon when it's still in stalk form, so then he is not obligated to remove the Truma Gedola tithe. Umeiser Sheni v'chulei, we said Meiser Sheni she niftu, that was redeemed, one is allowed to move. Pshita, of course it's mutter. So what is the Mishnah telling us? Lo tzrichos shenosan zekerem v'lo nosan chomesh. There's a rule that when Meiser Sheni is redeemed, the owner sets aside the principal value plus a fifth. So in our case, the owner redeemed the Meiser Sheni produce, which, if you don't redeem it, so you bring the fruits themselves to Shalayim. if you redeem it, you transfer the sanctity of the fruits onto money, so then the fruits can be eaten wherever they are and don't have to be brought to Yerushalayim. In redeeming, the Torah expects the owner to set aside the principal and add a fifth as well. And the money that you used for redeeming the Meiser Sheni produce, you then buy items in Yerushalayim and eat them there. We're talking right now about the moving of the original Meiser Sheni fruits, and we ask, well, of course, as the Mishnah said, they were redeemed. So they were redeemed, they become chulin fruits, and of course you can move them. Lo, Tzricha, the Gemara answers, it's not as simple as you think, but we need it to be taught in the Mishnah. In redeeming them, he paid the principal, but he didn't add the required fifth. Ha komash malon, and the Mishnah tells us ein chomish ma'akev. The additional fifth is not binding; doesn't prevent the redemption from taking place. So once we say that he didn't, even though he didn't add the fifth, as far as cash set aside to bring to Yerushalayim, the fruits nevertheless are redeemed, and hence they are mutter to be moved. Turmus hayovesh, we said this can be moved. The turmus is a type of vegetation. Dafke yovesh, it's only when it is dry. Avolach lo, if it is fresh, then no. My taimo, why not? Why can't you move the turmus if it's fresh? Kivan de morir lo ochla, since it's bitter, so people wouldn't eat it. Wouldn't be considered edible or a food item, and therefore it would be muksa on Shabbos. The Gemara on the next Omid will continue with more of the details in the Mishnah, but with this we conclude our shiur for today.